Ladies and gentlemen, today is the first day of the rest of your life. And now, listen in as Kristen and Johnny bring it all to the table on the Vision Board Podcast.
Guys, welcome back. Episode 158 of the Vision Board Podcast. I'm Tristan Cannell. Alongside me, Johnny Stuffgold.
What's up, everybody? We're stoked to bring episode 158 to you. Who we got, TK?
Yeah, special ep today. Chris Guillebeau in the house. It's going to be a bit of a short, sweet interview. That's how Chris rolls. So, you know, we like keeping our guests comfortable. So,
best-selling author, world traveler, speaker, media guy. You guys are going to enjoy this one.
Yeah, this guy has been to every country in the world. It's quite a feat. I don't think I've ever spoken to someone that has traveled to. I thought I've done a lot of traveling, and realistically, I think I go to America too much because.
Not a lot in America, though.
Yeah, probably not. Yeah, not after last time.
You're crazy.
Yeah, exactly.
Strip search.
Yeah, that wasn't very nice.
That's a whole nother episode.
Not exactly strip search, but held up in a lot. But yeah, like Johnny did mention, you know, world traveler, entrepreneur. He's got a new book, which is quite interesting, Side Hustle. And it's something, I guess, what Vision Board Podcast is a bit of a side hustle. And I'm sure that the people out there have got their own dreams and they're doing little businesses on the side. So it could be a good opportunity to learn more about the book and maybe why it could take you to the next level.
I heard that passion project, Chris Guillebeau, we're about to drop it.
Yeah, before we get Chris on, just a big shout out to everyone sharing the show on social media. If you want to get in touch with us, please hit us up on social media, Johnny Stoffgold or Tristan Cannell, across all social media channels, or please tell your family and friends and subscribe via iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher.
Without further ado, Tristan,
we got
Chris Guillebeau.
All right, our special guest is Chris Guillebeau. He is a New York Times best-selling author and modern-day explorer, where he set and completed the goal to visit every country in the world by age 35. He has many successful books, and in September, he'll be releasing his newest book, Side Hustle. He also hosts the famous World Domination Summit every summer in Portland. We welcome Chris Guillebeau. Chris, welcome to the podcast.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Tristan. Thanks, Johnny. Happy to be here.
Thank you, Chris, for stopping by the Vision Board. Like Tristan aforementioned, a lot of stuff to talk about, not a lot of time. Let's start the show off. What you can tell us for the upcoming release of Side Hustle in September, what the intent is on this project and who's it for?
Yeah, awesome. Well, thank you for asking that. I look forward to having a conversation and talking about whatever you want. But that Side Hustle book, yeah, my idea with that is this is a project just like Side Hustle School, my daily podcast. It's specifically for people who have day jobs. And you have a day job, and you're not necessarily trying to quit your job. Like maybe you want to eventually, but you can't right now, or maybe you're just happy in your day job, and that's fine too. But you want to have more than one source of income, just like most of us do. So I think the problem a lot of people have is there's a lot of education out there for entrepreneurs or people who want to be entrepreneurs or quote-unquote business owners. There's not a lot of information for people who just want to start a project, like using the skills they already have, and just kind of see where it goes without taking a lot of risk. So the whole goal with Side Hustle, the book, is to provide this step-by-step 27-day plan where anybody can get their project going within a month, again, without spending a lot of money. So that's the goal with that.
Yeah. Side hustling, in terms of it, what it means for you, what age were you when you wanted to get your first side hustle going on?
Yeah. Well, I kind of realized pretty early on myself, I didn't really like to work for other people. And I wasn't good at working for other people. So kind of realized I was unemployable. So for me, it was probably around age 19, you know, just when I was in university and trying to kind of figure out my life and what I'm going to do. And that's when I created my first side hustle, and it was selling on online auctions, and just kind of went from there. Like I realized, like I really liked the freedom of it. I liked to be able to kind of create my own lifestyle, my own schedule. And if I worked harder, I could probably make more money. Or if I was smarter, I could probably make more money and work less. And I just liked the whole, you know, creative aspect of being responsible for my own destiny and all that. So I mean, that was almost 20 years ago, and I'm still doing various side hustles in different ways now.
Chris, you're constantly on the go with your fingers in a lot of different projects. Was this the culmination of like journaling or your body of work, like an idea that you've already done the work for it, so let me consolidate it and put it into a book?
I think it was a lot of it was in response to my readers and like now the listeners with the podcast. Like last year, I had a book called Born for This, and I went to about 30 different cities, and I'd give a little talk, and the talk was like, you know, half an hour, and probably, you know, 2 minutes of that talk, I would say something about side hustles and why they're important, and I gave a couple of examples and such. And afterwards, probably half of the questions would be about that one topic, even though I only talked about it for 2 minutes. Yeah. So I kind of noticed like there was just a lot of people really interested in it. And so in some ways, it's the culmination of my work, but I think more importantly, it's like a connection with what people are looking for. And you know, I'm somewhat qualified to write about it or to speak about it since I've been doing it my whole life. So I kind of believe in like I'm a believer in being creative and doing what you want, but I also think it's important to figure out like what other people want and how you can match like all the different things you can do with something that's actually attractive and interesting to other people. And so that for me was like how I kind of came across this concept and said, okay, I'm going to kind of dive in and give everything I have, you know, to it for at least a year.
Yeah. What's for yourself? What's been the most interesting side hustle that you've done so far?
Let's see, the most interesting thing. You know, I was in West Africa for several years. I worked as an aid worker, and while I was there, I was mostly volunteering, and so I had to kind of support myself, you know, by doing freelancing and other stuff, you know, at night back in the States, like with this satellite internet connection that was really poor. And I had this business where, like, it was like a travel business, and I had these products that I was fulfilling to people. And the warehouse that I was using to do the fulfillment completely went out of business. And I had no idea, but for like 3 weeks, they weren't shipping any product. And so finally, I got this notice that just said like, hey, by the way, we're out of business. And also, we haven't shipped anything for the past 3 weeks. And so it was a bit of a crisis. And it was very stressful at the time. But I also kind of like realized, okay, if I can kind of figure this out and get through it, then, you know, maybe I can, you know, get through anything or whatever. So it was actually a weird thing that was very negative in the beginning, but turned out to be kind of positive.
You always seem to be ahead of the curve with your projects in terms of like what's trending, especially lately on social media. You know, look at your body of work, the startup, $100 startup, Born for This, your usage of, you know, your verbiage you use. Give me some insight on what advice would you give to guys like Tristan and myself in terms of staying in like the trendy aspect when we're creating products, maybe we're vlogging or creating some sort of like, you know, ebook sort of thing. How do you stay in the trendy, know what's trending?
Yeah, that's really interesting. I mean, it's kind of you to say that. I don't really feel that I am in anything trendy. And I feel like if anything, you know, I look at a lot of stuff that I've done, like social media, I'm actually not very good or very consistent with social media. And there's a lot of guidelines, you know, and rules that people have about here's how you're supposed to, you know, maintain consistent relationships. And I don't think they're bad guidelines. I just don't really follow them myself. And I'm not very good at kind of keeping up with, you know, how things are supposed to be. So, and then also about like I have a podcast, but, you know, like you guys, and I just started my podcast this year. You know, if you had asked me, like I remember listening to podcasts in 2005 when I was living in Liberia and like running on the beach and podcasts just came out and I was like, oh, this is cool. If you'd asked me like 2 or 3 years after that, I would have said podcasts are like going out. They're out of style. Like it's like the old thing. You know, meanwhile, like here we go into like 2017 and I'm like, oh, I should start a podcast. So I feel like I'm actually, you know, not necessarily like on trend with a lot of stuff. The one advice that I would have is like, I guess I don't really, for myself, I don't really pay close attention to what other people are doing in my space. So like, I don't really read a lot of business books because I'm a business author. I read mostly literary fiction. You know, I listen to a lot of different kinds of music. I try to you know, read widely and be exposed to people that aren't necessarily doing the same thing I'm doing. So I would suggest that is like, don't just have role models in the field that you're in, but try to look more broadly and say, okay, what are the broad philosophical ideas that I want to apply and how can I teach these in maybe a different way, or what is the different kind of spin that I have about something? Because I feel like a lot of people are kind of in this fishbowl and they're all kind of saying the same things, which is not bad, but it's just like, it's really hard to stand out if you're just kind of saying the same things.
Mm. Chris, just staying on trends, you know, when we were speaking about you coming on the show, you know, you were speaking about, you know, doing shorter interviews now, and you brought up guys like Brogan and things like that. He's doing really good stuff. And I know from yourself, you're very successful at doing shorter podcasts. Are you seeing a bit of a trend in that area?
Yeah, I don't know if it's a trend or not, but I definitely think, You know, like, I don't really know that a lot of people listen to really long form podcasts all the time. I mean, obviously some people do. You know, like, people could raise their hand and say, well, I do. But I just feel like, you know, the data has been missing. And now, you know, Apple's making this change where they're actually going to release a lot of that data. You can see who's listening to what, you know, length of the podcast. But, yeah, like, there's so many shows that do, like, 45 minute, 60 minute, 90 minute stuff. And that can work in some cases. Like, if that, you know, if that's your vision, that's great. Stick to it, of course. I just think, you know, I think there's a little bit of fatigue, maybe, or saturation with, you know, the way things have been done before. So again, for me with my podcast, it was like, I have to stand out somehow. There are some people who've done an amazing job with those style interview shows, but that's not me. That's not what I'm good at. And also, like, what I am good at is kind of having a mission or a challenge or like a quest. And like, I had the quest to go to every country in the world, and so this was like a little bit of a, you know, business application or like a, you know, content application of a quest. How can I do the show every single day, you know, 365 days a year and have a different, you know, story every day? That I was kind of attracted to that idea. So that's probably the only thing that's different or unique about it.
One of my favorite singer-songwriters, he took like 4 years off between album A and album B. And in an interview, he was asked, why'd you take so long? Why'd you take 4 years to release another album? And he goes, because inspiration and creativity is like a well. And once if you go to that well too many times, you're going to have, it's going to be empty. It has to replenish. What sort of, and I've kind of always like kept that with me because I find pleasure in creating things, whether it's a simple blog that hasn't been in this world before I wrote it or conversations like this. And I think we all struggle with finding that inspiration sometimes. Do you struggle with this? And if so, what sort of things do you do to kind of, to get it back?
Yeah, well, I think that's insightful. I think what it sounds like you've picked up on is like you understand what motivates you, which is really critical, I think, for anything in life. And you understand like what you find rewarding and how you're going to obtain that reward and what kind of work you have to do to get it. I think that's probably one of the most valuable things you can figure out about yourself, and it's going to lead to lots of things later. The advice itself is kind of interesting. I feel like this is a personal thing because people have to feel like have to figure out what they relate to and what makes sense for them. I can totally like appreciate that perspective of the guy who's like, you know, 4 years off between albums or whatever. I think other people might say, you know, if I was waiting around for inspiration or creativity, like it's never going to happen. So the way that I'm inspired or the way that I'm creative is I kind of sit down every day and I'm like, this is my time to create. And maybe I'm not going to have something amazing every day. And maybe like the well is dry or whatever, but you know, ultimately, you know, by kind of making myself or putting myself in this zone, then that is going to lead to the result that I want to see. So I think you have to figure it out for yourself.
Chris, really intriguing me with all that travel that you've done, man. Like when you hit that last country on your road before you hit the goal, you hit that country. What were you thinking? Was it like a what's next straight away? Did you take time to reflect?
It was a little bit depressing, actually. It was a little sad because I was like, damn, I've been doing this for 10 years, you know, like, and I could tell in like the 3 to 6 months, like leading up to it, I had begun to kind of have the shift because it's like, I was like chasing this thing for so long and pursuing it and, you know, obviously have no regrets about that. Like I loved every moment of it, but then it was kind of weird because it's like, okay, you know, this is my identity for so long and my personal identity, it turned into kind of my professional identity, which was not the goal in the beginning. Like it was a completely private thing for half of the quest. But then at a certain point, it's like, this is my whole life. And so, yeah, what's next? And in some ways it felt relieving. In some ways it felt freeing because like I did it. Okay, great. But then, yeah, had to figure out, you know, where to go from there. And I noticed like, it's not just about me, like anyone who pursues this kind of quest or like long form mission or project that tends to be really common because, you know, you kind of share personality characteristics in common. Like you're really dedicated to something. You're kind of single-minded. You really like the progress. You like milestones, you know, the touch points between like when you started and when you come to the end. And so eventually you have to replace that with something else. Basically, there's no way to just like stop doing that part of your life. You have to find a way to transfer it in some way.
Chris, the first time I visited Southeast Asia, excuse me, it really affected me. I wasn't expecting, I was in a little town outside of Bali, Indonesia, and I remember, man, it really affected me seeing the levels of poverty, specifically with like the locals and the children. I haven't traveled the world extensively like yourself. So my question is, did it get to a point when you would be in these scenarios where you kind of like, I don't know, became jaded by things or maybe just got used to things that at one time when you were younger, they would affect you a certain way?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's fairly accurate to say. And part of the reason why I left like West Africa after having worked there for 4 years, like I actually had a really great experience and like it was transformative, but some parts of it were pretty hard. And like we were working in post-conflict countries, they just ended a war. So there was lots of highs and lows, you know, like there's, you know, definitely a lot of like devastation and poverty. Also a lot of really positive stories of people who are hopeful and kind of rebuilding, but it was very intense. And so I noticed that there were some exceptions, but a lot of the aid workers that I saw, if they stayed too long, like beyond a certain point, you know, however many years it was, then they did tend to get, you know, a little bit jaded. And so I didn't want that to happen to me. And I kind of noticed like in the last year, I was like, it's not like I'm becoming jaded, but maybe I'm tuning out a little bit and I don't want to be in that kind of setting unless I'm really committed to it. So I think that happened. And then there's just kind of traveling around the world. Like, you know, you have observations and you realize like, okay, there is this hardship and that's reality and we have to acknowledge that. And a lot of us do have privilege that most of the world doesn't have. But at the same time, like people are doing pretty amazing things all over the world and people are very resourceful. And, you know, in some ways, like I feel like a lot of advancements in technology and culture and all kinds of stuff are going to come out of sub-Saharan Africa and places like Southeast Asia, like you mentioned. So it's a complex thing, but I think ultimately travel is good for us because it forces us to like ask these questions of ourselves and figure out like what is life like beyond what I've seen on TV or what I've seen online. Like, how is it really? What's it like when I go to that village outside of Bali, like you mentioned?
Yeah. Now, Chris, I'm not trying to make it get controversial here at all, but something that's always in the news, man. You know, you've been there, North Korea. What is it actually like to go there? How long are you allowed to spend in there? What do you do?
Yeah, well, so they have tours you can go on from Beijing, or you can also just go from Seoul and do like a little cross-border experience. It is kind of a surreal place. I didn't actually spend much time there, but you can go and you're kind of accompanied, you know, with a guard and they take your phone like upon entry and you don't get it back, you know, until afterwards. And the whole thing is propaganda, but you know this going into it, like, you know, going into it, like every person you're going to interact with is kind of, you know, there to tell you a certain story. And so it's interesting in that regard, you know, what's that?
Did you feel safe?
Well, there's no crime there. You know, that's the thing about a country like North Korea. Like there's no crime. Like if you commit a crime, you get executed basically. So, I mean, any threat that you feel is going to be from the government. It's not going to be from any other citizen, you know?
Yeah, I remember the first time I've been in Australia for 4 years and it hit me about 2 years ago when I went back to America for the first time. The realization that I had, like living in America, I was a huge sports fan. I would spend all this time all year from one season to the other watching sports. And since I left, and when I left, I realized, man, that was a big, you know, I wasted a lot of time watching those, the TV sort of thing. When you left and, you know, your time traveling the world, what was like a big realization or a big moment that you had realized that you had changed?
Yeah, that's interesting. I think, I never watched TV a lot, but I definitely spent many hours playing video games, you know, in my younger years. So I think probably, you know, a big realization, you know, which is fairly common. Like this is not like mind blowing or anything, but you know, I kind of grew up in a certain environment, and my family, some of my family at least, were Christian and religious, and I had never really, you know, until I was like, I don't know, mid-20s or something, I'd never been to like a Muslim country, you know, a Buddhist country, Hindu country, like that kind of situation. And so it's obviously very different to like just walk down the street and then there's the mosque and there's the call to prayer and all that. And it is kind of, this is why I think travel is good. This is why I think everyone should travel. You don't necessarily have to change your beliefs. You can still have whatever your faith or whatever your politics or et cetera. But I think it's very, very interesting to like then come face to face with somebody who has a different perspective or has grown up differently or different culture. So there was a lot of stuff like that, I think, that definitely like enlarged my worldview and maybe think differently about the world, which of course is good.
Yeah. You come to Australia quite a bit, don't you, Chris?
I do. Yeah, it's my favorite country in the world. Me true
too.
Story.
Wow. Me too.
Where do you...
True story.
Sydney or...
Mostly in Sydney, actually, where you guys are, I believe, right?
Yeah, absolutely, man. So I saw a couple
I mean, I like Melbourne, I like Brisbane, but Sydney is what I've always said is my favorite city in the world since I first came, I think, I don't know, 7 years ago.
What is the connection that you find?
What's that?
What's the connection that you find with Sydney?
You know, I'm not sure in particular. It's like there's just some places in the world, and there's others too, but, you know, Sydney's definitely at the top of the list where I've just kind of felt right at home. And when I say like right at home, it's not like it's the same as my home in Oregon or whatever, but I just felt very, very safe, very comfortable, very, you know, like this is kind of like I could get used to this, basically, is what I felt like. And so I try to come back every chance I get, but it's been a little bit too long. So I need to book a flight.
I say the same thing about Sydney, man. I just got back from a four week travel trip. And I always tell my friends here, when I leave Sydney for like a week or longer, I just miss it. And it's because what you said, man. You were raised where, in Portland?
I wasn't raised in Portland. I live here now. I was raised a few different places around the U.S. and elsewhere.
All right, yeah. So I grew up in Northeast Ohio, where crime in the town was pretty prevalent. And it all comes down to like the peace of mind, like, you know, sort of thing in Sydney. Can we talk about, I know time's limited and the clock is ticking.
That's good.
For our listeners at home, the World Domination Summit.
Yeah.
Yeah, what is this?
World Domination Summit, it's a gathering of people who want to change the world in all kinds of different ways. It started about 7 years ago, and it's every summer, Northern Hemisphere summer, and in Portland, Oregon. So it's coming up next week, actually, well, from the time of recording. This might go out later, but it's coming up soon anyway for me. And about 7 years ago, I did this book tour where I went to all 50 states in the U.S. and I invited people to come and say, let's do this thing. Basically, it's fun to do this meetup in Ohio or wherever, but like, let's all come together. Anybody who's interested in living life on their own terms, whether that's through entrepreneurship or through the arts or through travel or whatever it is, let's kind of come together and support one another and see what we can do. And so, you know, in the beginning, I had no idea really like what we were doing or what the, you know, impact would be or what strategies we're going to have in that end. So it was very organic, but we went from, you know, year one to year two, decided like this is a good thing. We want to keep doing it. And so now every year there's 1,000, 2,000, you know, sometimes more people who come to take part of this, and it's really a lot of fun.
And it's an open invite?
Well, you have to register, but if you register, it's open.
Okay. Yeah, we were chatting with a gentleman a while back, and it was more of like, I've heard of like adventurous groups that were like invite only. I was just wondering if this, so you just register online if you're interested and show up. And is it in Portland every year?
It is in Portland every year. It's in Portland every year, usually in July, sometimes in June or August, depending on how the calendar falls. Yeah.
Excellent.
All right. Let's
hit. Everyone's welcome.
We'll have to definitely attend.
I've been trying to get Tristan to go to Portland. It's a different world, man. All he knows about is Portlandia. That's it.
Oh, and Portlandia is basically a documentary, so it's just like that.
Really? Are you messing with us, or is it just like, because I've never been to Portland either?
You know, it's not quite okay. So there's a little bit of hyperbole, obviously, exaggeration. But I would say, like, when I've watched like some of the skits on Portlandia, I'm like, yep, that's basically like right down the street from me.
Hilarious. Awesome.
That's life.
All right, Chris. A few personality questions to finish. Johnny's got the first question.
Sure.
All right, Chris. Okay. If your three closest friends were sitting at a table and you weren't at the table, what sort of things would they be saying about you?
Oh my gosh. I have no idea. I mean, you have to ask them because they're friends.
Hopefully
they would say nice things. Hopefully they would say nice things. I don't know. I'm sure they would say, hopefully they would say, you're right. Right. Exactly. Yeah. Hopefully they would say, you know, that I'm, I don't know, somehow challenged something. Hopefully that I've done some good in the world. I don't know. They probably have some criticism too, though.
Chris, I'm going to take you back to your childhood. What posters did you have on your bedroom wall growing up?
What poster did I have? Oh, that's a great question. I probably would have wanted to have like a Guns N' Roses poster, but I wasn't allowed, basically. Like, you know, my mom at the time wasn't really into like rock music. So I was a huge Guns N' Roses fan, but it was like a secret. You know, I had to like, I had a cassette tape. I don't know if you guys know what cassette tapes are, you know, I used to have those. And I would have to listen to it like if my Walkman, like, you know, under the covers at night because it was a secret. So I didn't have a poster, but that's what I would have had.
Appetite for destruction. Did you have one of those
Sony?
Exactly.
Did you have a Sony Walkman?
Yeah, I did have a Sony Walkman, yeah.
They were cool.
All right, Chris, and switch gears. Bat, let's give our listeners at home advice when you're having bad days or bad moments. What sort of things help you to overcome those?
Yeah, I just try to accept those bad moments. I don't try to fight them because they're just kind of there. And like, I've struggled with anxiety and depression. And so I just kind of like, it's not like I'm saying that's the way I want my life to be, but I'm just like, you know, it's just here. It's going to pass. There's other things that I'm excited about. And as long as I'm, you know, doing something that I actually believe in, that to me is the most important thing. And, you know, if I don't have that, then that's a bigger problem. So I would say if you don't have a mission or you're not sure what you're working toward, then do whatever you can to figure that out. But then after that, if you get sad, sometimes that's normal.
Chris, final question. You're going to be hosting a private dinner party. You've got 5 invites. Uh-huh. Only rules, no family or friends, but it can be anyone, okay, dead or alive. Who would you like to invite?
Well, I've never thought about this. You guys have some pretty intense questions. Yeah. I should have done some homework beforehand. 5 people, okay. First of all, I'm not going to cook for them because I don't cook. But I'm going to have this dinner party at a restaurant. And, man, what am I going to do? Friends? Okay, so not friends, not family. Man, I don't know. I mean, like, I feel like I'm going to go for some, like, historical figures or something. You know, people that have inspired me that I've never met, perhaps. Maybe some other authors. I don't know. And then maybe somebody like Slash, you know, from speaking of Guns N' Roses, just to kind of mix it up a little bit.
Just playing the instrumental part of the breakdown from November Rain the whole time.
Right, exactly. Well, yeah, that'll take like 3 hours. So we have a long time.
Hey, man, we appreciate you stopping by the show, Chris. This was awesome.
You guys are awesome. Thank you so much, Tristan. Thanks, Johnny.
No worries. Chris, before we let you go, everyone at home, follow Chris, www.chrisgillibo.com. He's on Facebook and Twitter at Chris Gillibo. Chris, is there any other link? Is there a pre-sale for the book yet?
You know, there's no other link. I don't have anything to promote, but the podcast is called Side Hustle School. So if you want to check that out, it's out every day, or sidehustleschool.com.
Awesome. And that's on iTunes, Stitcher?
Yep, all of the above.
Awesome. We'll have that all in the show notes, guys. So check out Chris. Johnny, Chris Gillibo.
Man, high wired, a lot of intent, very consolidated. Man, that was awesome.
Man, I really enjoyed that. That was one of the ones where, you know, it was on the run because...
Yeah, it felt like we were running, for sure. That's a good
point.
Yeah,
he actually put us in a situation where, you know...
The email said, what, 20 minutes?
Yeah, you know, it was about 25 minutes, but, you know, we've always got a fair idea where we want to take an interview, and we've got things that we want to cover off, and it's one of those things that we just didn't have time. There was a lot of thinking on the spot because... He was fast, and he was just like kind of just feeding off what he was saying. So
yeah, we had to step our game up for that one. That was definitely out of our comfort zone. We like the long verse, long word, 45 to 60 minute interviews. We could kind of maneuver our way through those waters. We could maybe lead with the jab rather than following up with a hook. He forced us in a corner like a that was like a boxing match with the old school Roberto Duran.
Mate, that sounded like, to be honest, it was like an educated sportsman. Yeah. Because sportsmen are very much like that because they want to get
off camera,
but. If you have a look at that actual interview, he didn't use the word in the entire thing. And that's how you can tell someone that actually is very polished. And because with a sports star, they usually use an 3 times in a sentence because all they want to do is get off. They want to do a fast interview. Excuse me. And as much as they love the subject, they don't really love the subject. But I could tell in Chris's view that, you know, and he was surprised too. You know, you brought up trends and things like that. I don't think he might not even realize what he's doing. In terms of him being very, very good at picking different trends in the market and attacking him like a vulture, man. Like, he's very good at that.
That's right. That's the one thing that I wrote down when I was doing my due diligence, where it was the verbiage he uses in his writing style, specifically in his blog headlines and the book titles. And it seems like, you know, and I could go into each one and identify it with what year he wrote it and other books that were written at the time. And he's always there. You know, he always has – I think that's a skill set. It's pretty rad, though. To hear that he didn't see it that way. I like that.
He just must be, what's that word? Intuitive?
Intuitive, inquisitive, and very smart. You get very instinctive too. He's the type of guy that follows whatever he's feeling, just puts it down on paper.
Yeah, like Side Hustle through guys like Gary Vee and things like that. That's become a really big word over the last 12 months. And he probably sees that in a small niche that that's something that people want. And he's probably going to deliver a book that's going to be quite outstanding considering the success he's had with his other books. You probably think this one's going to be very successful as well.
I like who it's targeting. He's not standing on stage telling you to quit your job. He's telling you to keep your job. But if you have your strengths identified, if you're real with yourself, follow that. Find a passion. I like to say passion project. He says side hustle. Mm. Either or, it's going to be one, fulfilling, and two, it's going to take your mind off of whatever your 9-to-5. If you don't like it, you're going to have like a, it's kind of, for me,
well, gives you.
It
gives you an avenue straight back to work. It's that thing that you've got something to look after once that 5 o'clock bell happens. You've got something that you actually truly love that if you keep working on it every single day, you'd be surprised in 365 days time, all of a sudden you've created a little baby and then the baby starts crawling and then the baby starts walking.
And it starts peeing itself, pooping.
And then it can clean up after itself. Yep. And all of a sudden you've got something, you know, everything's got an origin. And I think people, you know, sometimes forget about that, that everything's got an origin, that Oprah once didn't have 10 million people watch her show. She once had her mom and her dad watch her show. And the same as this, the Vision Board podcast, was Rosie and Patricia Canelli first listened to it.
What's up, Rosie? What's up, Patricia?
Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah,
you're right.
Yeah. It's just one of those things. Don't.
That's why I love it, though, man.
Don't force the time.
Don't force the time. That's huge. Big lesson I learned from you. Guys, be patient. Be persistent. Be consistent. And don't allow anybody who's telling you not to do something. If it's your real passion, if it's something that you think about and you can't sleep because you're writing ideas down at night, go that way, man. Do it. Use it as a side hustle. Use it as a passion. It will pay off.
Definitely. Great way to end the episode. Johnny, before we leave, social media.
Johnny Stofko, all socials, Insta, Twitter, Facey. Go to my YouTube channel now, guys. Red, subscribe, Johnny Stofko. I love you for it.
There you go. And I'm Tristan Cannell across all my social media channels. Please get in touch, or you can send us an email at info@thevisionboardpodcast.com. Guys, we've got a great show on next week. We've actually got Dom D'Agostino.
Your boy.
The absolute king of ketogenic. So he's been doing... Last email he sent me, he said he was doing some stuff with NASA. So this is going to be interesting to see what he's been up to. So in between that, I've already got questions coming out of my...
keto. You and your brother. I love it.
It's just not even from my brother's time. It's like some of my other friends actually reached out when I told him about Dom. And
I know how I feel when I go more fats, when I limit the carbs, go more fats, sort of thing. I know how I feel. It's just tough to do. It's going to be awesome to sit down with this guy to give us insights on, what's up, Dom? How do I do this on a daily basis?
Absolutely. So, yeah, I think we really have reached a new level on the podcast in terms of now everyone has to get those pen and paper out for sure. And
I got my pen and paper out every episode, and you yell at me for it. So maybe we should do I write too heavy. I have big hands. You know what they say.
Can anyone help Johnny with his
I'm a caveman.
Handwriting?
Yeah. Awful. Very awful.
Man, your tablet. You can start writing on your tablet.
I don't like that thing. I just use it to record pictures on.
Yeah, I wonder what sort of...
All right, we got to wrap this up. We're starting to rant.
All right, guys. We'll check you out next week.
Take care. Peace.
Welcome to the Vision Board Podcast, stories of success from around the world.
You guys are scratching an itch, and that's why this podcast has become popular and successful, is because you guys are scratching an itch. You're enjoying it, and you're also benefiting from the knowledge that people are dropping.
I've never met the person in my life, including my parents, that was able to outwill me about me.
Whatever profession you're in, you need to keep working harder. You know, nothing comes easy these days, and you know, you'll get knocked down, but get back up, that counts, so just keep working hard at it.
You know, you guys said you do stuff, you ask things that aren't Googleable. You guys are two for two.
There's never been a time in my life where anybody ever was able to tell me who I was more than I knew who I was.
To join our vision and follow the journey, please subscribe to the Vision Board Podcast via iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher.